Hi, everyone, and welcome to Harvest Online. My name is Julie. I'm on staff here at Harvest. I work with the kids and middle and high school students. We're so glad that you could join us this morning. We have some announcements, but before we get to that, I just want to ask, how are you doing? I know it's been a long week. This is being filmed on Wednesday, so we don't yet at this point have an answer as to who our president is. And many of you, probably like me last night, were up too late, flipping back and forth between news channels, just trying to find answers, trying to get a definitive answer as to what was going to happen. And that uncertainty can be hard. And we know in COVID that time from Wednesday to Sunday, a lot could have changed. And one of the verses that I have been clinging to during this time of so much unrest and so much uncertainty is in Hebrews, where it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can rest in that fact that no matter what happens, our God is in control and our God is unchanging. So I just hope you're encouraged with that this morning. And we are, no matter who is president, no matter what is happening, we are committed to loving Jesus and loving our community here. And so we're going to talk about some ways that we can do that in the coming weeks. First of all, our Thanksgiving dinner boxes have been ordered. We have 15 we're going to deliver to Monroe Middle School. This year, things are a little bit different, though, and they are not able to store the dinners at the school until people can come pick them up. So they've asked if we would be willing to drop them off to homes of people who need them. So if you are interested in helping out with that, you can put that on your communication card. There's a digital communication card. There's a link to that. That card is also good for letting us know if you're here. If this is your very first time, we'd love to know who you are and where you're joining us from. We'd also love to know if there are any prayer requests that you have or next steps or any questions we can answer for you. So that digital communication card is a great resource for that. There's also a link in the comments to our online giving platform. So if you are needing to make use of that, you can find that link there easily. And we also hope that you will join us in our online communities. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. For those of you who consider Harvest your home, we have a Facebook group that we have going, and so you just need to message us and we would be happy to include you in that. So one other thing we want to make sure that we acknowledge today is this week is Veterans Day. And so to those of you who are veterans and who have served our country, we just want to extend our deep thanks and our appreciation. And we would love to hear, if you are watching and you are a veteran, we'd love to hear in the comments which branch of the military you served in. And again, we just want to say thank you. Pastor Ricky's going to come up and speak in just a couple minutes. We know that he is filling in because Marcy had back surgery, so Brian has been home caring for her and helping her. We are glad to say that surgery has gone well, and we are continuing to pray for healing and recovery and just that process and all that it entails. So thank you for joining us and praying for that. And without further ado, we'll pass it off to Ricky.
Well, welcome to our time of worship this morning, Online Church. We are just excited to be a part of your week, and we just trust today that the Spirit of the living God will fall fresh on you. We are missing you. We wish we could all be together, and I've said that last week, but I'm reiterated again because we really do miss you, and I know we're just excited about the possibilities of the future getting back together. And we just want to let you know that you are cherished and loved, and we just want to put our arms around you and give you a virtual hug this morning. So let's pray together as we get into God's Word. Father God, we thank you for each and every family member of our Harvest Community Church family. Lord, we know that many people are struggling during this difficult time of separation and having to go through the difficulty of the season. And we just pray, God, that your special blessing would be upon them. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your power in our lives. We thank you that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and encourages us and lifts us up and fills us with your Spirit, Lord. We pray for peace for those who are restful. We pray for help for those who are struggling. We pray for a calm spirit for those who are anxious. Lord, we just pray that today that we would understand from you how much you love us and how much you care for us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's message is entitled, What is a Bruised Reed and a Smoldering Wick? From Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. This passage of Scripture caught my attention as we as a church doing our daily Bible readings in Matthew some short time ago and came across this passage, and it really caught my attention and it made me dig into it a little bit deeper. So that's why I'm bringing this message to you this morning. Here's the one thing from this message. The Lord shows compassion and mercy to those who are broken and bruised by life because of all the turbulence that we have to go through. Therefore, we are called to be the people of compassion as well. The disciples were very critical of Jesus. The Pharisees were very critical of Jesus and his disciples. And they criticized him on more than one occasion. But one time when they did, Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. When we look at the life of Jesus, we can see a man of compassion filled with love for others. And our compassion should be the same as Jesus. But it's hard work. It's very hard work to be compassionate. It doesn't come naturally because we are people that are flawed. We are people that our hearts sometimes are not stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who are not saved, compassion is not a real attribute of them. Because we live in a fallen world full of me-first people. The natural man wants what he wants when he wants it and how much he wants it. He wants it fast, he wants it quick, and he wants it supersized. We see our world becoming increasingly self-centered and nasty. It's a dog-eat-dog world, survival of the fittest. And God forbid that anybody should get in our way. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the book by Dave Barry, How to Claw Your Way to the Top. That's sort of the byword of our society today. We love to see people get knocked down. We like to see people who will gain a measure of success or popularity and then watch them fall. We enjoy the misfortunes that come to the rich and the famous. Many of us eat up the tabloids. We love to see the problems that everybody else is having. We like it when a person who mistreated us in the office or in the workplace gets knocked down a peg or two. Mercy and compassion is really hard for us. We love it when a sports dynasty falls. Poor old Cowboys and Yankees. But Jesus sees people differently, doesn't he? Jesus sees people as needing help. He sees every man and woman on earth as fragile. He weeps over the lost sheep that's gone astray as the good shepherd. He is kind and tender toward the woman at the well caught in adultery. He has a heart of love for the demon-possessed man who lived among the caves and ran around without any clothes on. Even the Pharisees. He had stern words for them, but he spoke to them out of love and desire for them to have their eyes open and see him as truly the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, in a world filled with turbulence, we can learn from the lips of Jesus himself. Jesus had much to say in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. And here, listen to a few of these passages of Scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Matthew 5, 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you'll be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 7, 12 says, so whatever you wish that others do to you, also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You see, over and over, Jesus demonstrates that he's a man of compassion. It's the same Jesus who lives in your heart and my heart. So therefore, we ought to be people of compassion ourselves. This morning, I want us to receive encouragement from this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 12. And helps us to understand how we are to conduct our lives in a world of turbulence. One of the most comforting passages of Scriptures about that is found in this passage of Scripture, beginning with verse 15. It says, "Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." So I want us to look at the ways Jesus shows compassion for the bruised reed and the smoldering wick. First of all, we all fall short, but Jesus never gives up on us. Some have looked at the picture of the bruised reed and the smoldering wick and have found that everyone is included in these two pictures. The bruised reed can be depicted as those who have been beaten up and severely wounded by the effects of sin and the turbulence of life. They are broken by life. They are damaged in heart and mind and weak, and they're helpless and they're hopeless, and they're dead in their transgressions and sin. All of us have come into the world that way. There's none righteous, no, not one. The effects of this world system and sin was to destroy us and separate us from the love that God intentionally had for us when He created us. We are dead and we're hopeless and helpless without Him. A bruised reed cannot repair itself. It's broken. It's bruised. I don't know about you, but I've never played an instrument that had a reed. Some of you may have, but you know when a reed gets messed up or bruised or broken, it can't make music. It's useless. All it's good for is to throw away. You can't build anything with a bent or broken reed. If that was the case, Moses' little ship, a boat that his mother made, if it made from bruised reeds, Moses would have sunk to the bottom of the lake. This is a picture of each and every one of us apart from Christ. We're lost. We're broken. We are without hope. We could not repair ourselves. We could not save our own souls. We were hopelessly and helplessly lost. The second is a smoldering wick. A smoldering wick is not completely dead, but it's about to go out. It's about to lose its light. Some have said this is an illustration of those who once walked in faith and victory and the righteous, and they put their trust in Christ, but they've lost their first love. They've drifted away from the Lord. A smoldering wick no longer possesses light. The darkness has overtaken it. The heat that it once produced has gone out. There is nothing left but a memory of what used to be, the glory of what it used to be. All that you get from this is a little bit of smoke and a light flickering that remains. The smoldering wick is someone who once walked with God, but they've walked away from Him. They failed to live a life of holiness and devotion. And now the flame is almost gone, but there's still hope there. They are full of doubt and despair and discouragement. Some have said that cannot be. A person could not follow Christ and then walk away. Well, if you look back in the Old Testament, David, if that be the case, David would not be who David was. He had sinned against God. He walked away from God when he ran into the arms of Bathsheba, and he sinned against God, heaven, and God. But then that smoldering wick of sin with Bathsheba became inflamed again and became light again when we find the scripture says that he was a man after God's own heart. The smoldering wick is a description of the church in Laodicea, which had lost its first love, which had become lukewarm and was not hot nor cold, as recorded for us in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 30 through 22. Smoldering wicks can burn again, but they need help. They need to be reignited. They need to have the wind of the Spirit to blow on that small flickering flame for it to burn again. They need the Holy Spirit to light the fire which once burned brightly in their lives. All of us in this room have fallen into these categories. Every person we meet on the street could be described as a Bruce Reed, and many could be described as a smoldering wick. Life beats us down. Sin snuffs out the life of God. Everyone begins as a sinner lost in their sin and needs God. Those who put their trust in Christ are continually battling the tendency to have the flame and their flickering fire grow dim because of the turbulence of life, because of the temptations of life, and because of the yielding to sin that is placed before us. You see, Paul had that same problem in Romans 7, 24 through 25. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of sin and death? Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10, he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Always carrying in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Psalmist writes in Psalms 42, 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." And then finally in Psalms 51, 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise." You see, God loves a bruised reed and a smoldering wick. God longs to deliver broken people from their brokenness. God does not seek to destroy or knock you down. He's here to raise you up and place you on the solid rock, which is Christ Himself. He comes to deliver us and to bring us peace. He said, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace." There was a church planter named Francis Camus who was led to plant a church in the city of Nairobi, Kenya. He decided to plant the church in the worst part of town, a city packed with bars and brothels. A pastor friend years later, went and preached in his church, and he preached one Sunday, and the person that had been asked to drive him to the airport says, "You see this boulevard, Pastor? When Pastor came and started his church, it was filled with bars and prostitutes. Today, many of those bar owners and prostitutes are members of our church, and now the street is filled with music and wholesome businesses." You see, God is in the business of restoring the broken reed and lighting the smoldering wick. You see, we fall short of God's glory, but that's why Jesus came, isn't it? We all fall short, so don't give up on yourself. Jesus never gives up on us. And secondly, we can see people as Jesus sees them. So don't give up on others. In Isaiah 42, 1 through 4 is the passage that's quoted in this scripture. Jesus, it's fulfillment of that prophecy. A bruised reed he did not break. A smoldering wick he did not snuff out. You see, the natural thing to do to a bruised reed is to break it off and throw it away. It's not any good. It's useless. The natural thing to do is either throw it in the trash or throw it on the burn pile. It's useless. It's good for nothing. A smoldering wick stinks. And all it does is produce a lot of smoke that doesn't smell good at all. So what is the tendency for us to do is, well, snuff it out. We don't want to smell the burned wick. We don't want to see the smoke. So we just want to snuff it out. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus restores the reed to health and the life and rekindles the flame in the smoldering wick to bring back that bright glory and glow once again. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, we read, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." But what about us? That's what Jesus did according to Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. But what about us? How do we respond to bruised reeds and smoldering wicks? If we say that we love Jesus and His Spirit dwells within us, our heart should have the same compassion for bruised reeds and smoldering wicks as Jesus had in His life. So what do we do to bruise people? With our words, harsh and cruel. What do we do with people whose lives are bruised? With our attitudes, full of judgment and criticism. What do we do with people who are downtrodden, with our prejudice and are full of condemnation? What do we do with people who are not like us, with our actions and wanting to get ahead? We can easily write people off, can't we? It's our human nature to do so. We think many times, well, they're just getting what they deserve. They got themselves into this mess so they can get themselves out of this mess. They should have tried harder. They should have overcome their addiction. We fill our hearts and minds with 100 reasons why we don't have time to help someone who is bruised because of the turbulence they've gone through in this situation and that situation. In the words of Jesus, our love has grown cold. Years ago, I heard a man in a meeting that I was part of in a church when we were talking about helping a seminary student with some of his finances because he was going through a difficult time. This man in this meeting said, well, I think he ought to do like the Bible says, that God helps those that help themselves. And I said, I don't think that's in there. What I read is God helps those who can't help themselves. Read a story about a pastor who had taken a new position in a church in the inner city. When he went to his office, he first moved in and he was in his office and he was standing at a window and one of the deacons walked in and found the pastor looking out the window with tears running down his face. And the deacon tried to console the pastor and says, "Don't worry, pastor. After you've been here a while, you'll get used to the tragedy of this city." To which the pastor responds, "Yes, I know. That's why I'm crying." Years ago, I heard Vance Havner at a meeting that he was speaking at. He talked about going to a restaurant with a friend. And this restaurant he was going to was a very exclusive restaurant. It was down in the basement of a building, and you had to go downstairs. And he said as soon as they walked in, and it was very dark. And there were a few candles on the table, and the maitre d' led them to their table, and they sat down. And he said, "I could barely read the menu." And the man I was with realized I was having a hard time struggling with the darkness. And he finally looked over me and says, "Dr. Havner, don't worry about it. Your eyes will soon grow accustomed to the darkness." And he said, that's the problem with many of us. Our eyes have grown accustomed to the darkness. You see, we've become so saturated with murders and killings and riotings and beatings and hardships of life that Our eyes and our hearts have grown cold. We become numb to the children that are passed from foster home to foster home. We become callous that we just say, oh yes, we know there's a lot of unborn children that are given up, that are been destroyed by abortion. We know that marriages are disintegrating. We know the culture is self-absorbed. We know that this is happening in our society, yet we have grown cold toward it. We do not grieve over a neighbor who's going through decaying health problems. We don't think about shut-ins, so elderly people who are shut in at nursing homes and during this time of COVID and they can't see their families. That's why we need to stay close to Jesus, isn't it? That's why our eyes have to be the eyes of the Lord Jesus. But realize that this does not come without a price. Francis Schaeffer, who was dying of cancer, once wrote this. He said, the only way to be foolishly happy in this world is to be young enough, well enough, and have money enough, and not care about other people. But as soon as you don't have the first three, or if you don't have compassion for the weeping world, then it is impossible to have the foolish kind of happiness that I believe some Christians present as Christianity. Jesus didn't call us to live happy, self-obsessed, and cloistered lives of indifference. Jesus was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and he weeps for those who are lost and broken and bruised. When we fail to do that, we have forgotten how Jesus lived. We've forgotten how Jesus ministered. Have we broken any bruised reeds? Have we suffered? Have we snuffed out any smoldering wicks? Jesus doesn't snuff out those whose fires are burning low. He gently restores the straying sheep. He picks them up and pulls them close to his heart so that we can hear the heartbeat of God. He calls for repentance and renewal in the life that is lost and left its first love. How do we snuff out smoldering wicks? We create doubt in people's minds. And we say, you know, we say to ourselves and we say to others, you know, they can't be a believer. They can't be Christians the way they live. We discourage them and try to kill their dreams. We throw cold water on the fire by tempting them to do what is not right, but what is wrong. Many times we as Christians cause people to stumble. The Bible says, do not cause one of these little ones to stumble. It would be better for you to have a millstone cast around your neck and thrown in the sea than cause one of these little ones. We think that that may be children, but I think it's just little in faith. Little in faith. A dozen years ago, a Romanian pastor came to visit a church in America. He had gotten to know the pastor there who took Bibles behind the Iron Curtain during communism times. And he came to this country and visited the church. And as he visited the church, the pastor asked him, says, what do you think about America? And he said some things about America. He says, what do you think about the American church? And the Romanian pastor was sort of hesitant about saying anything because he didn't want to offend this pastor that he knew that had sacrificed a lot by taking Bibles behind the Iron Curtain. But he finally said, in his opinion, the American church is rich in material things but poor in spirit. What he meant was that the American Christian, by large, had a flabby faith because it had rarely been exercised, much less tested. You see, we all fall short, don't we? But don't give up on yourself. Ask Jesus to help us see people as he sees them. Don't give up on others. Jesus shows compassion for bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. Thirdly, we should fight for justice because that's exactly what Jesus did. The last part of verse 20 says, till he has brought justice through to victory, in his name the nations will put their hope. You know, Christians above all else are people who bring hope and help to others. Sadly, in our day and age, we have become known more by bringing condemnation and judgment than we are help and hope. We must learn to hate sin but love the sinner. We must learn to show compassion to those who are bound up by their own actions and by the actions of others. We must find ways to reach out to the blind and the leopard and the lame, like Jesus did in his day. You say, well, I don't know if we see those people around us like that today in Jesus, the blind, the lepers, and the lame. Yes, we do. They're all around us. We must care for the poor and the helpless and the widow and the orphans, as Jesus said. We must seek justice for those who are going through injustice. But what do? We usually complain about these things instead of doing something about these things. We want to talk about the problems rather than being part of the solution. We like to talk about the abortion issue, but are we willing to go and work in a woman's shelter for unwed mothers? We like to talk about the homeless, but are we willing to go down where they are and minister to them? And I thank God for our church who ministers monthly to our homeless. But is there more that we can do? We talk about people with different lifestyles. Instead of condemning them, maybe we ought to get to know them and eventually lead them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and befriend them. We see people of other faiths, and we want to condemn them, but maybe we should get to know them as well. People coming from other countries, they're foreigners, but they've come here for a reason. Should we not reach out for them with the love of Christ? Maybe we need to adopt a local nursing home and start a Bible study there and go and befriend people in these nursing homes that don't have anyone that ever comes to see them. I remember years ago in Dallas when I was a youth pastor, we adopted the most rundown nursing home in the city of Dallas, Oregon. There were a lot of really nice ones, and a lot of churches went, but we decided to go to the worst one in town, and it was tough. It was difficult because it was not a very clean place. It was not a very didn't smell very good. We went once a month, and there was one lady that we kind of got attached to that we tried to get to come home with us for a meal. She promised that she would, but when we went to go pick her up, she decided that she would not go. But we reached out to her. But should we not do that because Jesus wants us to do that as well? What I'm calling for us to do is not easy, is it? It comes with a cost. We must learn to stop thinking about ourselves and start looking for ways to minister to others. We must give even when it hurts. We must love even when we are rejected. We must have compassion even when those people have less. Mother Teresa is a good example of someone who gave her life in service and served in Calcutta, India, with the lepers. She first went there and she got so convicted that a woman with leprosy was lying in the street and the rats were chewing on her. And she finally asked if someone could let her use a Hindu temple to make a makeshift hospital. And it set her on a course of a lifetime of service. One winter night in 1935, Mayor of New York City, Mayor LaGuardia, showed up for night court, dismissed the judge and decided to sit in on night court. And a woman was brought before him, a grandmother. She was caught shoplifting a loaf of bread. And she was brought before LaGuardia, said, "Why is this woman being brought before us?" And he asked her, why she stole this loaf of bread. She said, my daughter's husband has deserted her, and she was sick, and her children were starving, so I didn't have any money, so I stole this loaf of bread. He said, well, I'm going to have to fine you $10 and punish you because the law requires it. And as he was pronouncing the judgment, he was reaching in his pocket and in his wallet, and he pulled out a $10 bill, and he said, here is your fine, I remit, and furthermore, I'm fining everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where people have to steal bread to feed a starving grandchild. Bailiff, take up the fines and give it to the defendant. She was given $47.50 when she left the courthouse. That scene, a person who is a bruised reed and not saying, oh, you owe 10 bucks, but I'm going to help you as well. You may not be a Mother Teresa, you may not be a LaGuardia, but you are able to make a difference in the life of a person. Henry Blackaby once wrote, when God was ready to judge the world with a flood, he came to Noah. When he desired to build a nation to himself, he came to Abraham. When he heard his children groaning in Egypt, he appeared to Moses. They were three of the most ordinary men, but God had work to do. And he knew just who to do it with. God has always given his people assignments that are too big for them to handle alone, so that a watching world can see not what we can do, but what God can do. And that's what this passage is talking about. If we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we can do more than we can ever think or hope. Well, here's my concluding thought. We may not be a religious giant in the world's eyes, but we all are children of God, touched by the compassion of Jesus. He showed overwhelming compassion to each of us. Therefore, we can do the same for others. This morning, you may have been touched by the love of Jesus, as this passage of Scripture shares. You may be that bruised reed that we're talking about this morning, that you've never experienced the love of Christ in your life. And today, you realize that you are bruised beyond repair, and that only Jesus can come along in your heart and life and restore you to fullness. Maybe today you want to pray a simple prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Lord, I am broken. I am bruised. I cannot change that. Only you can do that. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my life to live. I ask you to restore me, O God, into a relationship with you. I wave the white flag of surrender. I give you my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. I invite you to come into my life to live. This morning, if you've made that commitment to follow, be a Jesus follower, we would love to know about it on your communication card. Again, if you can get a hold of Pastor Brian@harvestcommunitychurch.com or Ricky@harvestcommunitychurch.com, we'd love to talk to you about your decision. And this morning, you may be here and your flame may be growing really dim because of the turbulence of this world. And this morning, you want to come, you want to renew and re-enlight that flame in your heart and life. I'm going to pray a prayer for you this morning for that. Father God, I pray for those this morning whose flame has grown cold, who's walked away from the Lord, and whose wick is just smoldering, Lord, and smoking. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would light a fire in each of us, that we truly would burn brightly for you, that God, we would walk in faith and victory. We would see people as you see them. We would minister to people as you minister to them. We would love people as you love them. Lord, we just pray, God, today that you would just fill us with your Spirit to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. We trust God has spoken to your heart today and in your life. I pray, God, that you would go out in faith and victory and power this week in the name of Jesus. God bless you. We love you. We can't wait to be back together again and be all united in heart and spirit and mind and voice. In Jesus' name, have a great week.